Well, good morning. Welcome this morning. If you're new, if you're just joining us for the first time, my name is Jonathan. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're just glad that you are joining us. It's a Christmas season, and in the spirit of giving and receiving gifts, this Christmas, we've been talking about the gifts that we get from God. And this week, we're going to talk about the gift of friendship, and in particular, the gift of friendship with God. In the mid-1800s, there's a story about this guy, John Patton. John Patton and his wife left Scotland. They sailed to an island called Aniwa, deep in the South Pacific. It's one of those chains of islands down there with palm trees and beautiful white beaches. And they went down there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people in that little island. And when they got there, they were struck by just how destitute, how desperate the people in that island were. Instead of it being this idyllic paradise with everyone living in peace, it was filled with these warring tribes. And when they would go to war, when they would kill their enemies, they would actually eat their flesh. There was cannibalism going on in that island. And they also practiced infanticide. They would kill their newborn children and also widow sacrifices. If a husband died, they would take and murder his wife so that they could bury them together so that she could serve him in the next life. And it was a place of darkness and hopelessness. And when they arrived, John Patton, he wrote this about what it was that he experienced there. He says, their whole worship was one of slavish fear. So far ever as I could learn, they had no idea of a God of mercy and grace. And you know, for the next 15 years, John Patton shared the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with the people on that island. And eventually the whole island turned to Christ, totally transformed their lives and what they did. But along the way, there was a lot of danger, a lot of really hard things that happened. In fact, if you read his autobiography, it's like reading an action novel. I mean, just these things happened and some really hard things. In fact, not long after he arrived on that island, his wife was pregnant with their first child, and she gave birth, and 2 weeks later, due to complications of childbirth, she died, and it broke his heart. And then 2 weeks later, the son that she gave birth to, he also died. And he writes, he said that the sorrow and the anguish was so great that he thought he was going to go out of his mind, except for the grace of God, except that he believed in the incredible sovereignty of God in his life, that even in this, God must have something that he was doing, and it held him through that time. And then he went and he began to share the good news of Jesus with these people, the tribes on these islands. And he said it was just so crazy because 1 week they'd be coming and hearing him preach, and the next week they'd be hunting him down to try to kill him. And in fact, he tells of multiple experiences where his life was in danger. In fact, he tells us one time he was sleeping in this hut, and when he woke up in the morning, he could hear that his hut was surrounded by these angry, you know, villagers that had come out with the intention to kill him. And so he rolled out of bed, he got on his knees, and he prayed, God, I'm here to serve you. I give my life to you. If it's your will, please allow me to live that I might continue to share the good news of Jesus. But if it's your will, if you would receive more glory by me dying today, then I submit to you. And then he got up off his knees. He marched out of the door right towards the chief who was in charge of all these villagers. And he walked right up to him and he began to lecture him. He began to say to him, look how kind I've been to you and how gracious, how good I've been to you. And look how you're treating me, how rude and inconsiderate and just downright mean. And as he lectured the chief gently but boldly, the chief said, you're right. You're right. I can't believe what we're doing. And he called his men off and he said, if anyone comes to threaten you, we will kill them. Which wasn't exactly what he was looking for. But in fact, things didn't change. And he had a number of experiences where they came for him to try to kill him. And probably the most amazing story, the most powerful sort of story in his life was one point where he was running for his life again. This tribe came, these angry mob came looking to kill him, and he fled into the forest and climbed up into these trees and hid himself. Well, down below, these people were hunting for him that they might kill him. And this is what he writes in his autobiography. He says, I climbed into the tree and was left there alone in the bush. The hours I spent there live all before me as if it were but of yesterday. I heard the frequent discharging of muskets and the yells of the savages. Yet I sat there among the branches as safe as in the arms of Jesus. Never in all my sorrows did my Lord draw nearer to me and speak more soothingly in my soul than when the moonlight flickered among those chestnut leaves and the night air played on my throbbing brow as I told all my heart to Jesus, alone, yet not alone. If it be to the glory of my God, I will not grudge to spend many nights alone in such a tree to feel again my Savior's spiritual presence, to enjoy his consoling fellowship. I mean, here he was in this tree all night while these men hunted for him that they would kill him. And he says, I was so close to Jesus. I was right there with him, and he comforted me in the middle of it all. And then he writes this sentence. I mean, this is his own autobiography. It's like he turns to us who are reading about his life, and he says this. If thus thrown back upon your own soul, alone, all alone, in the midnight, in the bush, in the very embrace of death itself, have you a friend that will not fail you then? Such a powerful question. I mean, if you find yourself alone, all alone, and probably it's not in a tree in the bush hiding for your life from, you know, these people who are coming to try to kill you. But if you find yourself all alone in your trials and in your struggles, in your heartbreak and your disappointments, if you find yourself all alone in the middle of a pandemic or all alone facing a health issue or a broken relationship or the loss of a job, the question is, do you have that kind of friendship with God that can sustain you in the middle of it all? Because you see, it's possible to have a friendship with God. In fact, he wants to have a friendship with us. And you know, in the ancient world, this idea that a human could have a friendship with God was considered preposterous. I mean, no one less than Aristotle himself thought that idea was ridiculous. Because of course, friendship requires having something in common. And how could a human being have something in common with God? Because a friendship is based on this idea of you too. In other words, someone shares their love for sports and you're like, you too? Or they share their experience growing up or their background. You're like, you too. Or their passion to do something, to go somewhere, to accomplish something. You're like, you too. And out of that grows this relationship, this friendship. And Aristotle says, there's no possible way. There is no legitimate way that a human could have that kind of you too moment with God. And yet the Bible makes it clear that God wants to have friendship with us, that it is possible. In fact, it goes back to the very nature of who God himself is. God himself is one God, but the Trinity tells us that there are three members of the Godhead: God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And through all of history, all of eternity past, they have been in this mutual interaction, this friendship, this love that flows between them. And so when God created us in his image, he put in us this desire for relationship, for friendship. And he built us so that we too could have friendship with God. And then if you read through the history of God's interaction with humans, there are all these places where God has friendship with us. So for example, when we look at Abraham, Abraham was called a friend of God. The book of James talks about it. And you remember the last story that we looked at in the life of Abraham before we turned to this series was about God meeting with Abraham, and he's on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says to himself, I should tell Abraham what I'm about to do. And they talk like friends do. And later in Exodus chapter 33, it tells us that Moses had a similar kind of relationship with God, that he went and he met with God and he spoke with God like a person does with his friends. And all through the Bible, you see this, and Jesus himself talks about friendship with God. In fact, on the night before he's betrayed, he invites his disciples up to this upper room. And in this upper room, they sit down, they have this meal together, and Jesus pours out his heart. He just shares all of these things. And in the midst of it, he says to his disciples, you're my friends. In fact, we want to look at what Jesus says about friendship. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn there. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Jesus is talking to his disciples about friendship. And this is what he says. I'll look at verse 12 and through to the end of 17. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Jesus tells his disciples that they should love one another the way that true friends love one another. And he goes on to say that the example of what that should be, the pattern for our friendship with others around us, should be the pattern that we see in Jesus' relationship with us. And so in this passage, he shows us what friendship with God is all about. So let's go back and look at it more carefully. He starts in verses 12 and 13 this way. He says, "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you." In other words, the pattern of his relationship, his love for the disciples, his friendship with them, that's the pattern that we should use in our relationship with our friends as well. And then he starts this way. He says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." Jesus starts by explaining that friendship, true friendship, genuine friendship, involves sacrifice. Here's what he says. Friends sacrifice for each other. And if you have a good friend, you know that this is the case. I mean, you know, back when you were young in college days or maybe high school, and you went out with your friends, and maybe you stayed a little later than you should, and you come home and they're dropping you off, you're kind of trying to tiptoe into the house, and the door opens, and there's your dad. And he's like, "Where have you been? It's past when you're supposed to be here." And before you can stammer out an answer, your friend comes up. He's like, "Oh, sir, I'm so sorry. I was out and I wasn't paying attention to time, and I kept him out later." And your buddy, he takes a hit for you. He sacrifices for you. That's friendship. Or that same buddy, he goes and he gets married, and he decides he's going to get married in a far off, distant, foreign land like Saskatchewan. And you have no money, you have no time, and no desire to go to Saskatchewan. But because he's your friend, I mean, you cobble together every penny you've got, you break the piggy bank and empty out the contents, and you beg your boss for time off, and then you get in your little car that's held together with binding wire and duct tape, and you drive 16 hours. Why? Because he's your friend. You sacrifice because it's a sign of love for your friend. And Jesus says here that the greatest sign of love, the greatest, the ultimate sacrifice, is if somebody lays down their life for their friend. And this is what God is going to do now for his friends. Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, is going to lay down his life. He is going to sacrifice his life for his friends. And this becomes the foundation for our friendship with God. And you remember Aristotle, he said, it's impossible that humans and God can have friendship because they don't have anything in common. And here's where Aristotle is dead wrong. The fact of the matter is, that you two thing, God did it. It happens. In fact, we celebrate it every year at this time of year, at Christmas time, because God stooped down. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. In fact, he humbled himself so incredibly, he became as helpless as a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. I don't know if you've ever felt, humbled and helpless, but if you are, God did too, through Jesus in the manger. And then Jesus, he grew up, he lived this life among us. He knows the struggles and the temptations and the heartbreak and the hardships that we face only without sin. And if you know struggles and temptations and heartache and hardship, God does too, through Jesus Christ. And then on this night that Jesus is talking about friendship, later this very night, one of his closest friends is going to betray him. And the next day, the next morning, he's going to be falsely accused. And by the afternoon, he's going to be hanging on a cross, suffering and dying. And all the sins of the world and all the brokenness of the world will be poured upon him. And at that moment, God the Father will pour out his wrath and all the punishment due for all of our sins on Jesus. And he will cry out. He'll say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And if you've ever felt betrayed by a friend and falsely accused, and if you've ever felt abandoned by God, God too, through Jesus. You see, Aristotle was wrong. There's all kinds of places where God too, he understands what it's like to be us. There's much that we have in common with God through Jesus. But what we don't know, what we will never know or never experience, is what it's like to experience the full wrath of God, the punishment of God for our sins poured out on us if we are friends with God, because that's what Jesus took for us. Jesus took it all on himself. It was the ultimate sacrifice. It was the ultimate act of friendship, the greatest act of friendship in all of history. And Jesus did it for us who would become friends of God. In fact, it becomes the foundation for us and our friendship with God. It's the first thing that Jesus talks about. Friendship involves sacrifice. But then he goes on in verse 14 to say this. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Here's the second part of key, genuine friendship. And that's this. It involves mutuality, it involves reciprocity, it involves a two-way street. Here's what I say. Friends reciprocate. I mean, if you've ever had someone beg you to be a friend, but you didn't want to be their friend, it's not really friendship, is it? I mean, you know, when you were a kid in elementary school, you and your buddy walking around the playground and some other kids following you around saying, "Please play with me. Please play with me. Please be my friend." If you don't turn around and play with them, they're not your friend, are they? Hey, friendship is about reciprocity. I mean, you could send them, "Go do this, you know, bring me that thing," and you could treat them like your little slave. But friendship is about this interaction. And the same is true with God. And the way that we reciprocate with God, the way that we return that friendship with God is by obeying him. Now, some people will say, "Well, that's not friendship. I mean, my friends don't obey me. I don't obey them. Is that really friendship?" Yeah, you got to understand, God is not like your typical friend. God is not just one of the good old boys. And sometimes Christians forget that, especially if we've followed God a long time. We forget. I mean, we begin to think like God's a friend like Frank, our buddy Frank, or like our girlfriend Sally. And you know, he hangs out with us like one of the good old boys or one of the girls on girls' night out. And if he says something we don't like or we kind of disagree with, we kind of laugh like, "Oh, don't worry, that's just God. He's just being himself." But that's not who we're talking about here. We're talking about the God of all creation. I mean, we're talking about the God who put the galaxies in place and raised the mountains and filled the sea with teeming, you know, all the things that are in the oceans. We're talking about the God who sees every sparrow that falls to the ground and who grants you every breath that you breathe. I mean, that's who God is. It's not the good old boy that we're just kind of hanging out with. So yes, the way that we respond to God, the way that we reciprocate in our friendship with God is that we obey him. We respect, like any good friendship, who that person is. And the way we respect God is to obey him. So here's the question. Are you obeying God? Do you obey all that he says? Or do you kind of chuckle like, "That's my friend, God. Don't worry about him. He can't be that serious about that." Because he's dead serious about it. Because he's God. And it's not like he follow you around on the playground saying, "Play with me, please, play with me, please." That's not how it works. If you don't reciprocate, if you don't participate, then there isn't a friendship there because that's how friendship works. It's the second aspect of friendship. There's a reciprocity there. And here's the next aspect of friendship. It's found in verse 15. This is what it says. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Here's the next thing. Friends share deeply. Friends talk about real stuff. You know, acquaintances, they talk about the weather and how you doing and the latest news. But friends, they get real. I mean, they talk about what's going on in their life, how they feel, what they really think, what's really important to them. And that's really key to a genuine relationship, that back and forth being real. And in fact, it's hard to find, isn't it? A study done a while ago already. It's an older study, but it sort of shows the trend. Back in 1985, they did this study. They found that the average American, the average Canadian, had 3 genuine friends. And by that, they defined it as someone that you could totally confide in. You could be genuine and real about what's going on in your life. And they tracked that through the years. 20 years later, in 2004, they found that the average American only had 2 genuine friends, 2 people they could confide in, and that 1 in 4 Americans had no one at all. In other words, the trend, and since that has continued, has been that there are fewer and fewer genuine friendships in our life where we can genuinely be ourselves and say what's going on. And the study said that 1 in 4 doesn't have anyone. That doesn't mean, I just don't feel like opening up and sharing. That means even if I wanted to, there's not anyone in my life that I could genuinely be real with. True friendship involves that ability to just be yourself and to tell people what's really going on. And this is the kind of friendship that Jesus offers to us. You know, Jesus doesn't just sort of hold his cards close to his vest and sort of, you know, tell us like, you know, on a need-to-know basis. Jesus, God, he reveals who he is, all of him, his heart and his passions and the things that make him angry and the things that bring him joy and what he's doing and where he's going. And I mean, he's just an open book. I mean, he just shares who he is. And the way that we know who he is isn't through, you know, God doesn't speak to us through some sort of gut feeling like this is who I am and what I want you to do. The way that God speaks to us is through his word in black and white and red on the pages. It's here in the word of God that he reveals to us, his friends, who he is. So if you want to have a friendship with God, you've got to be in the word. You've got to understand who he is. But that's how he communicates to us. The way we communicate back is prayer. So the conversation with God, the friendship with God, is a two-way street. He communicates to us, and we pray back to him. And one informs the other. If all you ever do is in the word and not prayer, if you just study, and you know more and more about God, then you don't have a friendship. Then what you have is an academic understanding of who God is. And it's great to study, but that in itself is not enough. On the other hand, if you don't spend time in the word of God, if it's just prayer, then it becomes all about me, what I feel, what I think, how I'm feeling, then you're not hearing from God. And then God becomes sort of this genie in a bottle. You know, if I just rub it the right way, poof, he'll appear. And I'll ask him, you know, to grant my 3 wishes, and he'll go on his way. You got to have both. Eugene Peterson talks about it this way. He says this: left to ourselves, we will pray to some God who speaks what we like hearing or to the part of God we manage to understand. But what is critical is we speak to the God who speaks to us and to everything that he speaks to us in the Bible. There's a difference in praying to an unknown God that we hope to discover in our praying and praying to the known God revealed through Israel and Jesus Christ, who speaks our language. You see, what he's saying is we need this conversation. And the way that we hear from God is to hear him speak to us in English through the word of God and for us to respond in the prayers in light of what we hear from his word. You see, that becomes friendship. That becomes a kind of relationship that we have. And Jesus says this is key to having a friendship with God. Okay, so that's the third aspect. Then there's one last element of friendship that defines our relationship with God, our friendship with God, and again, it becomes a pattern for our friendship with others. It's found in verse 16. Here's what he says: "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Jesus says, look, I chose you to be my friends. And I chose you that you might go and bear fruit. And he says, fruit that abides. In other words, that lasts. And what he's saying is, I chose you so that you would do things that change lives. And then he says, and when you do, when you partner with God in that, then when you ask him, he'll answer your prayers. He'll work to accomplish what he asks you to do. And here's the last thing, the last point that Jesus makes. And that's this: friends do things together. Friends do things together. You know, in the Bible, there's a number of different words that are used for love. One of them is the word eros, from which we get the English word erotic. And that kind of love speaks to romantic love. And the image in the Greek is two people face to face. I mean, they're facing each other as they, you know, are involved in this kind of love. But the word for friendship, the Greek word philo, has this idea of two people side by side, facing out, going and doing something together. You see, that's what friendship is. Friends do things together. They have fun together. They go on adventures together. They accomplish things together. You know, I remember in my late 20s, I had this job. I just hated it. I'm not one to quit easily, but I just quit. And I got in my car, and I drove across town to my friend, and I found my buddy wherever he was, and I said to him, I just quit my job. And I saved up some money, and I'm going to go backpacking through Europe, and you should quit your job and come with me. He looked at me, and he said, okay. And he went, and he quit his job, and he came backpacking through Europe with me. And I'm not quite sure that his parents thought that was a great idea. But, you know, we had such an adventure. For a month and a half, we traveled through Europe, and we got lost along the way, and sometimes we felt sick, but we met amazing people, and we saw castles and cathedrals and battlefields, and we, you know, we climbed mountains, and we traveled on trains, and we ate great food, and we ate terrible food, and we had this incredible adventure together. And you know, our friendship grew in profound and amazing ways. And to this day, we laugh about it. We swap stories. We make fun of the things that we did, you know, of each other and the things that we did on that trip. Because friends do things together. That's what they do. I mean, friends, they watch football together. They go shopping together. They build race cars together. They drink coffee together or read books and book clubs together. Because it's important to do. If all your friendship is just talking, if it's just we talk, but we never do something together, you miss part of the aspect of the friendship that makes it richer and deeper because there's something about doing life together. And friendship with God is the same thing. God wants you to pray to him. He wants you to be in his word. He wants this conversation, but he wants more than that. He wants to do things with you. He wants you to produce fruit in your life, and he wants to participate in that along the way, fruit that abides. He wants to see people's lives changed through you. So the question is this, are you doing that? Hey, you know, are you on an adventure with Jesus? And maybe, I mean, maybe he's calling you to some, you know, island in the South Pacific to share the gospel and to, you know, run from people who want to kill you. But for most of us, that's not the case. For some of us, it's just as simple as you know, building a friendship with the guy down the street who's always puttering in his garage, but there's not a lot else going on in his life. And for some of you, the adventure with God is like mentoring somebody. Just a young person, you just bring him into your world, and you love on him, and you care for him, and you just share your life and share Jesus along the way. And for others of us, you know, the call is just to go and to serve in our city. I mean, to work in the food bank or to serve at Women Care or to just, you know, help in our city and along the way to be the light of God in the world, and just to share the good news as we do. And for some of you, the call in your life, the adventure that God is calling you to, is to become a Ridge community leader, because we need more leaders who will come and open their homes so that people can be involved in community, open their lives. But somewhere along the way, God wants you to do something with him, to not just sit and read, although that's good, not just sit and pray, although that's important, but to do, because that's what friendship is all about. And you know, when you do that, it'll push you. There'll be times when you feel a little lost, when you know, you don't feel so great. But along the way, you're going to meet amazing people. And God's going to do beautiful things in your life. And you'll look back and you'll say to God, remember when we did this. And remember when you showed up and we did that. And remember what you did through my life as together we set out to do what you called me to do. It'll be a beautiful thing. That's what friendship is about. Jesus ends this passage this way in verse 17. He says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. The picture of God's friendship with us, that's the pattern. That's the model for our friendship with those around us. Friendship is about sacrifice. It's about reciprocity, about reciprocating. It's about being real. And it's about doing things together. And in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, even though we can't do friendship the way that we did before, it's more important than ever. It's more vital than ever that we are in touch with our friends. So who is it in your world you need to maybe sacrifice for again? Well, I mean, where is that place where you need to reach out and connect again, where that reciprocity goes on? And you might be like, well, you know what? They haven't called me for a long time. Well, guess what? If they haven't called you for a long time, then that means you haven't called them for a long time. So call them up, text them, email them, DM them. I mean, whatever it is, so that you make that connection in their life. And then you need to talk. You need to get real about what's going on, how you're feeling about everything that's going on, and allow them to do the same. And maybe you could do that by texting, but chances are it should be a conversation over the phone or Zoom or FaceTime or however you do that. But we need to be in friends' lives. And friends do things together. And of course, in these days, it's not so easy to do. But one of the things that we've learned from COVID is how incredibly creative we can be within the confines of the regulations that the government has set out. And so I want to encourage you, how is it that you can connect with your friends staying within the regulations that we have. How can you do things together? How is it that you can stoke the fires of those friendships? Because in these days, the friendship is more important than ever. And in fact, it's what Jesus commands us to do. He says, this I command you to do, to be friends, like I'm friends with you. And of course, it's not just friends with one another, but friends with God. And so here's the question. How is your friendship with God? I mean, do you feel like you're in a friendship with God? Or do you feel like God is sort of like, you know, that distant person that's just giving instructions? Maybe like Dr. Bonnie, like really nice, wants what's best, but kind of distant. I mean, you don't have a relationship. You don't have a friendship there. Or maybe you feel the opposite, like God's the genie in the bottle. Like I just keep rubbing this thing. I keep trying to get the right formula that God will pop up and, you know, answer my wishes, and then I can get on my way. It's not what God wants. God wants a friendship with you, a friendship that involves obedience, that involves an ongoing conversation with him, that involves, you know, sharing life together, doing things together, and based on the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for you. And if you look at your relationship with God, where are those areas you need to maybe adjust, where you need to be more obedient, or where you need to get back into that conversation again, or where you need to say, I want to do adventure with you, God. Like, let's go. What are you calling me to do? And stoke the fires of that relationship. Stoke the fires of that friendship, because he wants to have a friendship with you. And for some of you that are listening, this is a new concept. I mean, you are not a follower of Jesus. You don't know a lot about God. But the idea that you could have a friendship with God, that's a novel idea. You thought that God was always just like out there, kind of firing commands over here and kind of mad. But the fact of the matter is, all through the Bible, right here, what Jesus is talking about is a friendship with God. And you can have that. And the way you have it is based on the fact that Jesus made this incredible sacrifice. He paid the price for our sins on the cross. And so if you want a friendship with God, you can have that today. It's simply a matter of saying, you know, God, thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And I accept that in my place. And God, I want to follow you. I want to follow Jesus. And you invite him into your life, and that friendship begins. And if you want to know more about that, you just go to our website, ridgechurch.ca. In the top right-hand corner, there's just a little button that says, Know Jesus. And if you click on that, it'll give you some sort of directions for how you can begin a friendship with God today. Look, we want to end today by sharing communion together. And communion is something that Jesus also talked about. He instituted on that same night that he was in that upper room having that meal with his disciples, with his friends. And in fact, he says we should share this together. And so if you have some bread and a cup of juice or wine or whatever it is that you're drinking there, now's the time, and we want to share it together. And I want to invite you to take the bread and hold it in your hand, pass it around if you're with your family there. And you know, Jesus reminds us that it's because of the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate act of friendship, Jesus laying down his life for us, that we're able to be in a friendship with God. And you know, we never want to make light of that. We never want to think like, oh yeah, he died on the cross. No, he died on the cross for our sins so that we could have this kind of friendship with God. And so today, as you hold that bread, I want to ask you, is there something in the way of your friendship with God? Is there sin in your life? If so, I want to give you just a moment or two. Go back, just examine your heart. Say, God, I need to get right with you and confess your sins, and then we'll share this together. So just take a moment. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat the bread together. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, This cup is the new covenant that is in my blood. Drink this whenever you do in remembrance of me. You see, The friendship that we have with God is based on a covenant. It's not a fair weather friendship. It's not like, oh, God's having a bad week and he doesn't like you anymore and he abandons you. But by the same token, it's not like, well, you just have some hard times and you're going to abandon God. It's not how it works. The cup is a sign that the kind of friendship we have with God, it's a covenant friendship. It's sealed by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. So as we drink the cup together, may you be reminded that this is a friendship based on a covenant. God bound himself to you and you bound yourself to him through what Jesus did on the cross. And that's worth celebrating. So let's celebrate together the covenant relationship we have with God through Jesus. Let's drink the cup together. Oh, let's pray. God, thank you that we can have a friendship with you through Jesus. Thank you that he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice so that we might be able to have not a distant, you know, servant-master relationship where you just tell us and we just do, although we want to be obedient. But Father, a real genuine friendship. And so God, today we want to walk in light of that friendship. Today, God, we want to give our lives again to follow you and to serve you and to be friends with you. And God, where we're lacking in that, may we work on our friendship. May we work on our relationship with you so that it becomes rich, so that whenever we find ourselves alone, all alone, even if it's just us facing death, that we know that you're right there with us, that you will never leave us. And so, God, we thank you for that. We bless you. And God, today we pray for our friends. God, we pray for those who are struggling in the midst of COVID and who are distant from us, maybe not emotionally, but just in physically distant. God, we pray you care for them. God, that you would help us to find ways, Lord, to connect with them. So God, we give you these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.